Anyway, okay, I want to, if you have a Bible, I'm going to have you open up to Matthew 25. It might be in your bulletin too, I believe. But as you're getting there, I want to tell you an ancient story, give you a little history lesson. Say what? It's out. Okay, we'll work on that sometime. Thank you. Here's the history lesson. So, the Babylonians, they kind of rose into power, right? And after the Babylonians rose into power, then they were taken over by the Medes and the Persians, and the Persian Empire grew and overtook the Babylonian Empire, became bigger and stronger. And then, how many of you all heard of Alexander the Great? But you know, and then two of those kingdoms became Syrian Empire. Now, how many of you know of Syria? Now, how many of you know that Syria is not really it's kind of a poor deal right now, right? It didn't used to be that way. These guys were big. These guys were huge. And so these two empires, they would go back and forth in wars, and they would fight each other. And finally, towards the end, this evil king arose, and his name is Antiochus Epiphanes. Has anybody ever heard of him? Bad guy. Max knows. Max can be my Vanna here. But this guy was evil. He was a master of deceit, and he came in, and he was seeking to destroy Egypt. He was seeking to destroy all of these other different nations. And finally, he went into Jerusalem, and he destroyed the city. He went into the temple, and he put an altar over God's altar, and he sacrificed pigs of all things. How many of you know to a Jewish person that's horrible? So he sacrificed pigs on the altar of God to Zeus. And all this went on and on and on, and finally there was a revolt. And these people, these group of people, they're called the Maccabees. They came in, they revolted, and they took back the temple, they took back the city. And when they went in to clean out the temple, they went in to find the menorah, and they had enough oil for one day, and they put it in, and they thought, this is all we've got. We can't make enough oil in the amount of time it's going to take to keep this thing burning. 7 days after that, that oil lamp is still burning. 7 days after that, call it supernatural, call it spiritual, call it what you want. But 7 days later, the amount of oil that was only supposed to last for a day kept that lamp still burning. And today, the Jewish people celebrate that as Hanukkah. But I want to bring that into today's relevancy. What does that mean for us as Christians today? And I can't help but believe that the times that we're in are very scary. Does anybody believe that? The times that we're in are scary? Okay. So I can't help but believe that big things are coming. Big things are coming. Okay? So Jesus, they asked Jesus about all this stuff. And Jesus began to tell them about end time stuff. And he began to tell them about all the things to look for. And then afterwards, he went into this parable. And it's in Matthew 25. And if you want to read along, it says, then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, five of them were prudent. That means wise, if, you know, I had to look that up. Just, anyway, five of them were prudent. For the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil and flasks along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. All these virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going to go out. But the prudent answered, no, there won't be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. Now, how many of you think, who the heck is a dealer at midnight? I mean, Walmart, I guess. I don't know. So while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in to him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins came saying, "Lord, Lord, open up for us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour." So this is a pretty standard parable, right? You kind of get the basic idea. We kind of have the basic idea of being alert, because we never know. We've been told this all the time. We never know when Christ is coming back. That's what the whole moral is. We never know when. But I want to say that there's more to this story than what meets the eye. Look on the front of your bulletins at that picture. You see that? That's a little oil lamp, and that's the lamp that they would have had back then. You know how big that thing is? It's like this big. were grafted in among them and became partaker with them of the rich root of the olive tree. So if Jesus is the olive tree, then we are branches and shoots from what? The olive tree. Now, the second question is, what the heck does this have to do with anything about what you're talking about, Jason? And here's the biggest question of all. What happens to olives that you don't eat on pizza and in salads? What does it get made into? Take one guess what the virgins used in their lamps. It is no coincidence that you are the shoot of an olive tree. It's no coincidence that you, the fruit that you bear is correlated or paralleled to an olive tree or olives, because it gets pressed into olive oil. And because it's the oil, it's that oil that you need to burn into your lamps. Okay, this is called one word, faith. And James puts it like this: faith without works is what? Dead faith. So he's saying you have to put oil in your lamp, or else the oil lamp is going to run dry. So what? Why couldn't they borrow oil from the other five virgins that had enough? Why? What's the big deal? Why is it important? Because it was important for them to be a light. You see, in the culture, they went out to meet the bridegroom, and when he came, they led the way. They prepared the way for the bridegroom to come back to the house to have the wedding feast. That's what we're all waiting on. I don't know if you know that or not, but when it comes to the end of time, when all things come to an end, what we're waiting on most is the wedding feast, the return of Christ to come back. And there are people who are called to prepare the way of the Lord. And that's what these people were. They were witnesses. And if you want a validation of that, Revelation 11 talks about two witnesses. And when he goes into the description of these two witnesses, they're called the olive trees and the lampstands. Now, one wasn't an olive tree and one wasn't a lampstand. They were both each. Because they were both pouring oil into their lamps. They were both building their faith each and every minute, each and every day of their lives, because they needed to be a light. And the Bible says that darkness can't handle the light. Do you know that? Darkness can't handle the light. If we were to shut the lights off in this room, if we were to close all the curtains and it became completely dark, and one of you lit your phone up, turned on a flashlight or something, it could not be overcome. Darkness could not overtake it. Do you know why? Because darkness is not tangible. Darkness has nothing to it. It's void. But light is. Light is tangible. And we as a church were called to be a light, because it's tangible. You see? It's tangible. And so the only way to turn that flashlight out would either be to let your battery go dead, your oil lamp to run dry, or for you to just turn it off on your own. What a sad thing that would be. So if you want to know why you're going through the valley, if you want to know why you endure struggles and things, consider this. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians, we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but not despairing. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. What does that sound like? That song we just sang, isn't it? We're pressed down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Get this picture. This is what Paul's talking about. Have you ever watched somebody take down olives from a tree? Have you ever seen that been done? There's about two ways to do it from what I'm familiar with. You can either take this big, huge machine and go up to the tree and shake it like crazy. Or the older way would be to take this big wooden brush, okay, and to pull each branch down and comb the olives down, right? And they laid out a big sheet that would gather the olives that the olives would fall to. Some of them fell down, and guess what? They got pressed. Did they get crushed? No. See, that's what Paul is talking about. I might be pressed, but I'm not crushed. I might be persecuted. I ain't abandoned. Okay? All of those olives are going to get used. I may be struck down, but I'm not destroyed. And I am that way because I am filling my lamp with fresh oil constantly. I'm filling my lamp so that I can be a witness, so that I can be a light that I'm called to be. So I would love to talk more and more and more and more and more about how to be a witness. I don't have time this week, but I want to leave you with this challenge, okay? Are you ripe? We're talking about the fruit of a olive tree. Are you ripe to be his witness? And that's something, if you could leave with that thought in your head. Are you ripe to be his witness? Because I bet he's calling you to, all right? I bet it. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and I thank you so much for the very fact that your word speaks life, your word speaks truth. And Father, that we can gain that faith from the word, because faith comes from hearing the word. And I pray, Father, that we would gain that faith. Each and every person in this room would gain that faith. And I pray that your spirit would open up their eyes. The Bible says that we can't even confess that Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. And so I believe that your spirit is ready and willing to overwhelm the people in this room so that they can be the light that you've called them to be. And Father, I know that regardless of whether we're yours or not, we're always going to go through life struggles. I'd rather go through the life struggles knowing that I have a purpose. I'd rather go through the life struggles knowing that there is a reason for everything that's going on. And Father, I just pray that that's something that we can all take to heart and we can all live in that peace. And Father, that we can carry that joy with us. And I pray it all in Jesus' name.